Good morning. I call the 1,377th meeting of the Board of Directors to order. May I have a motion for approval of the agenda? Moved by Mr. Acosta. Is there a second?
Second.
Question, discussions, hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Thank you. Second certification of the board executive session by Mr. Downey.
I move that the board certify, to the best of each member's knowledge and with no individual member dissenting, that at the just concluded board executive session, only such matters as are authorized for discussion in executive session under board bylaws article 10, and only those matters identified in the notice by which the executive session was convened, were heard, discussed, or considered by the board.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Acosta. I will note that Mr. Dyke and Ms. Bowser are not in the room. Discussion? Hearing none. All of those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Okay. Next is the approval of the minutes of July 26th board meeting.
So
moved by Mr. Downey. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Downs. Discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And opposed. The next is public comment, and our first and only speaker is Mr. Michael Sendman. Mr. Sendman, welcome.
Morning, Madam Chair.
All those with the sound of my voice.
Michael Sendman, disabled veteran, served our country for the most. Have you ever been defiled, Madam Chair, or any board members? The reason I ask is just yesterday I had my bike stolen. Petworth Metro Station. Officer took report, Eubanks, who chief has a good bedside manner. Report number given 2012-40421. Something disconcerting, however. I was told that the video may not be pulled, although the theft of bikes is on an uptick. To pull the video, if one, it exists, and two, it's not purged. I'd like, chief, the video doesn't want it. You've got to pull it. Find out the ones who are responsible for this dastardly deed. And the others that are youth, two youth that were hanging around, like about 11:30-ish, you know, in the late p.m. And it's not good for customer service relations. You are aware, Ms. Bowser, I'm a Ward 4 resident, and the Petworth Station is in Ward 4. And moreover, at ANC, Advisory Neighborhood Commission 4C, they have repeatedly brought up concerns about what's happening at Petworth Metro. So I've been victimized, and this needs to be dealt with accordingly. I have a comment card, two copies, actually. One I'm going to give to the chief, and another I'd like passed up. Actually, you can do that as well, chief. I was to have a sit-down, so I thought, with Chief Payborn back on September 20th. For whatever reason, it didn't happen. And in concert with the treasurer, director, Rod Shrinoff, I think, was the fall-through. But, chief, we can, you know, expedite so you and I and the good treasury director can have tender moments of bonding. That would be helpful. I also want to pass up an article that appeared in the Examiner yesterday. Metro's response to bad odor at station stinks. I'll do that to the chief. And then last but not least, Mayor Yule, your bright picture in the paper. I got two copies, one for you, one for the board. It's good that you take Metro. So in your words, and I want to conclude with this, Madam Chair, you indicate here, and I quote Mayor Yule, it's an opportunity when you ride to use the system to observe the good, bad, and ugly. So true. And I think it's incumbent upon other commissioners to do as well.
Thank you, Mr. Senator.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Have a good and godly day.
That's the end of public comment. The next item on our agenda is report of the Writers Advisory Council, Dr. Brackmore. Come on. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning. It is a pleasure to be here today to present you with the Writers Advisory Council's report for September 2012. Over the last 2 months, the RAC has made significant progress on some of the five initiatives we decided to address at the beginning of the year. With regards to the RAC 2012 initiative to address youth safety and youth transit concerns, the RAC, in conjunction with the Mayor's Youth Leadership Institute, hosted a youth transit town hall in late July, which was attended by approximately 200 young adults from the District of Columbia and Montgomery County. We were pleased by both the turnout and the quality of the discussion at the town hall. The lead for this effort, Joseph Kitchen, has mentioned that the next step is to convene the group of students that expressed their desire to work on this issue further and get a sense of what next steps the youth themselves have in mind. Regarding the RAC initiative to study existing transit service to Dulles and BWI airports and make recommendations for possible improvements, the RAC met earlier this week with the Metropolitan Washington Airports Authority to discuss opportunities to make the existing transit service to Dulles Airport more user-friendly. The lead for this effort, Ben Ball, focused the conversation on the authority's ground transportation policy, such as how does WMATA coordinate with the authority on 5A routing, scheduling, signage, and broader policy issues, such as what does the authority see as its mission when it comes to transportation to and from the region's airport, and what would the authority like to see WMATA do in terms of airport transportation. Regarding the RAC initiative to make recommendations on how Metro can improve its communication with riders, the RAC decided at our September meeting to work cooperatively with the board on incident communications, beginning with the board's panel discussion on incident response and communications scheduled for the October 11th Safety and Security Committee meeting. The lead on this effort and other communication efforts is Carl Seip. The RAC looks forward to this collaborative effort and ensuring that the riding public is involved in this important discussion. The RAC recognizes that we can also do better at communicating with the riders we represent. At the August RAC meeting, the council approved a motion drafted by Carol Carter on public participation at our meeting. We have changed our procedures to allow for additional opportunities for members of the public to provide comment on council agenda items, both during meetings and via email. The RAC will solicit input from RAC members and from the public and present any recommendations for modification to these procedures in November. Lastly, at our September meeting, the council received a presentation from staff on Metro's proposed standards for rail service. Council members appreciate that Metro is developing these standards and feel that the standards could prove a valuable tool to guide the board and management's decision-making about how to allocate resources. Members did have two general concerns about the standards. One, as currently proposed, the standards only speak to rush hour service and do not address elements that riders consider critical components of their trips on the rail system, such as escalator availability. And two, how will information about Metro adherence to these standards be made available to riders? While performance information is available on Metro's website, it was suggested that the information be made available in locations where riders would encounter that information as part of their travel. The RAC will be working with the Accessibility Advisory Committee to suggest additional criteria that the groups would like to see incorporated into the rail service standards as they are refined and expanded. This concludes my oral report. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Ms. Brackmore. Let me comment before, I won't make it part of my comments, but as noted in your report, that the relationship and work with the board is very much a critical and important piece with us, and I acknowledge the fact that the incident panelists that we're going to have is one of those beginning steps, and it is an opportunity, but also to complete for the next coming year. What you challenged us with is what areas and ideas that the board might have that we would like to work with the RAC. So we appreciate your time. It's a commitment for you all, and it has been a lot of diligent work that you've done. And your youth initiative on your own, I think, was a helpful piece, and you've brought information back to us. And the board's task will be for us to be the more forward-thinking ones to say, well, what else might we do? Since we're the policy body, how might we utilize your talent and your time in an effective way so that you can actually function well as an organization? So I just wanted to note that, because that's very important. And thus today, the quarterly meetings that the board is having with you is very much a good start for us. So thank you.
Thank you. We very much appreciate your comments.
Next item is the report from the Accessibility Advisory Committee with Mr. Sheehan.
The mic there for a second. Thank you very much. I appreciate being here. Between Phil and myself, would like to comment comment on a few things. We have been working, of course, on the fare calculator, and we've regularly been reporting on that over the last few months. The fare calculator, the reports we've been getting have been very good. We've run into a few technical issues with the fare calculator as far as it being put on the web. The technical staff has been trying to solve those technical issues. We do feel that the solution that's being presented and followed is a good one. So we appreciate the efforts that WMATA, the staff, the technical staff, have put into this fare calculator. We think it's going to be a solution that is going to assist and work for a lot of people. The AAC has passed a recommendation that that we're looking for a remedy. Whether that remedy is going to be the fare calculator or some other remedy, so that people with disabilities can understand what the fares are going to be, so that they can expect a certain fare at a certain time, and we appreciate the fact that that the fare calculator is going to assist in that. Phil will discuss a little bit with the fare policy working group some of the initiatives that working group is going to put forward, and we want to look at a number of things, including what the fare distribution is going to be in the jurisdictions and how that's going to proceed and what the distribution is going to look like. So we're very interested in moving forward with that. One of the things that we have looked at and discussed with staff concerning the fare calculator, first we want to get that on the web, make sure that it's stable, usable, and we're looking forward to that. The second phase of the project was going to be to get the fare calculator into the hands of the reservationists. But what we've been able to accomplish, I think, is that the fare calculator, according to Trapeze, can be integrated directly into the Trapeze program. This will allow individuals who are booking online and then also the reservationists to use it directly from Trapeze. It would also give Trapeze, I think, a very excellent tool within their software to be able to predict these fares. And I think that would be one of the first instances of this in the country. So we're sort of skipping phase one. We're going to go to phase three. And I think the timetable for that it's been indicated is somewhere around April of 2013. In terms of IT development and deployment and testing, we understand that it takes time. But we just urge that the work continue. If any additional resources are needed, we would appreciate the board being receptive to that idea. As far as the smart trip card dispensers, there have been some pieces in the paper. I think I was quoted in one or two of them. A couple of things with that. We understand that there have been some issues with the procurement of the new smart trip card dispensers. One of the things that, and maybe this wasn't reflected in some of the articles that were in the newspapers, was that this was discovered, or at least we found out about it, at a subcommittee level, at our bus rail subcommittee, and we made recommendations to the individuals who were putting out these smart trip card dispensers. I think WMATA's response to the problem in general was very excellent. I mean, they basically said that they covered the dispensers that didn't meet procurement standards. They indicated that they had procurement standards that had access built in that had not been followed. And they basically said that this would be remedied. And they gave a very aggressive timeline for moving forward so that these dispensers would be totally accessible. That's a far cry from where things were when I started with this committee. The committee wasn't ever even acknowledged as far as having input into the process. I felt that WMATA's response to the issue was entirely appropriate, coming from a large federal agency, Department of Veterans Affairs, that where we have issues similar to this as far as access and IT. I felt that WMATA's response was very, very good, fully, and they expressed themselves very well. And the remedy, I thought, was very fair to individuals with disabilities and everyone else. I particularly appreciate the aggressive timeline that WMATA took to remedy the situation. And we look forward to fully accessible dispensers in the future. As far as the other issues that we've been looking at, we have input into the FY14 budget. We've been looking at elevator issues, signage issues, lighting issues. You'll be getting reports from us in the future on that. We're looking very aggressively at what stations, according to the disability community, need to receive better lighting. We've looked, and in the past, we have recommended redundant elevators and transfer stations. We're also asking that a study be done with respect to putting elevators in stations like Brooklyn that have two entrances but only one elevator, and it's a long walk between elevator to entrances. Those are the initiatives, basically, that we're looking at right now. This is what we'll be moving forward. The only other thing that I would add is we also receive updates on the in our bus rail committee on bus stops. We received a very good report from Montgomery County, from Arlington. Prince George's County has some more work to do, but we're aggressively looking at Prince George's County to see what their implementation of the bus stop survey is going to be. And I don't think, at least I have not seen a report on D.C. yet, but I do know that was an issue that you were interested in as to upgrading the bus stops and where they stand in that process. So that's something that our subcommittee is diligently working with, and we'll be reporting back to you on that. Bill?
Hi, good afternoon. Patrick is a member of the FAIR Policy Group, so he's updated you on most of the things that we've done. We're working with our two subcommittees. One is the Metro Access Subcommittee and also the Bus Rail Subcommittee. For the Metro Access Subcommittee, we wanted to compliment Mr. Sarles for moving the FAIR calculator into Phase 2 and now into Phase 3. We really appreciate that. The only point we'd like to make is one that Pat did. It will be close to 3 years of the existing non-understandable fare policy, where a good portion of the riders are missing least expensive fare by 1 or 2 minutes just because they can't calculate it. And we're requesting, this is through the Metro Access Subcommittee, that the board and staff work with us to find some sort of remedy for the time it's going to take to develop a fare calculator to get it into Phase 3 and the reservation is hand. So hopefully something will be worked out. It has been 2 years as of now, and if April is the date, it'll be 2.5 years of non-understandable fares. The other point on bus rail, and I don't want to be beating a dead horse, but I had the opportunity to be one of the people participating in training film for bus drivers this past week, and had the opportunity to try the low fare on a Smart Trip car. As I was doing it, the driver said, that's the worst thing that's ever happened to me, is having people try to load fare onto their cards. It's more difficult than strapping in a wheelchair. And what I would request is the members that do ride the bus, I know a number of you do ride the bus, try loading fare on your Smart Trip card on the bus. The other thing is a very positive that now that CVS and Giant have the ability to not only sell the cards, but also load fare on the cards, that's a real plus. Problem is, it's not being widely advertised. There is a spot on the WMATA website that took me about 15 minutes to find that will actually give you the map of all the places where you can buy cards and load cards if you put in your zip code. And that's a beautiful site, but it'd be really nice if it's on that first window when you get onto the website, it says, hey, not only can you buy a card, but this is where you can find out where you can load fare onto the card. And so we make the request that the advertising group get together and get more information out. There, again, are posters all over the Metro Rail system see them every day, about how great Smart Trip cards are. And they are. Haven't seen one yet on a bus. And on those posters, they don't tell you that you can load the card someplace other than rail or at the fare box on the bus. And so, again, we're requesting that that get out. And we talk about the unbanked. There are the unbanked and the unnetted. And we do have to find a way to get to that 3% that are still using cash on the buses, because they can least afford to pay the penalty on that. So the request is that something be done to get more information out, and maybe even think about speed bus riding, loading, by eliminating that penalty, and let them just pay cash rather than having to put cash in to load a card, and then use the card to avoid the penalty for using cash, which is what happened. Thank you.
Thank you both, Mr. Chan and Dr. Posner.
Thank you.
I think, Mike, we ask that we come back to customer service. I think it would be on a report of the moving up phase as well as the other, because I think it has been a question asked, and we appreciate the fact that there has been the working relationship, but it does mean that it's a long time in terms of how it affects those folks who need the accessibility of it. So, Mr. Downey, we'll give it to your thank you very much.
Right. Thank you. Yeah, Madam Chair, I just wanted to comment on one item that's in here.
Yes.
The advisory committee is reporting that the bumpy tile program is going forward. I would just note, for historical note, when I was deputy secretary, the Metro wasted 2 years of my time telling me they did not want to put in bumpy tiles and didn't think it was feasible to do it. So I'm pleased to see that we've pretty much gotten that one behind us.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Very good. Yes, we appreciate that. That was one of the reports to the bus rail subcommittee. They did an excellent job, and I'm pleased to see that 69 stations will be done by 2015. So from a person, a blind person who uses stations all the time, when I hit those domes, I realize I'm getting close to the edge. It does mean a lot. So from a safety and security standpoint, that's one of the areas that first started me getting involved with a AAC committee 25 years ago. So we appreciate working with it. And I guess this is an example of good things sometimes take a lot of time, but we appreciate the fact that you're working with us on it.
Thank you very much.
Nice job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, they're wonderful at the Verizon Center at the Caps games.
thank you very much. I have had my comments. I have no report. And the next is the general manager's report.
Good morning, Chair Hudgens and members of the board. First, let me say that I'm looking forward to the Governance Committee meeting this afternoon, particularly with regards to our discussion of the strategic plan. In addition to continuing our work to finalize new vision, mission, and goals that will guide our business planning and multi-year budgeting, we will be initiating a new public outreach phase in support of your planning efforts. This is timely, as we need our riders and stakeholders to begin weighing in now about what the next generation of Metro should look like. While our rebuilding work continues, we need to address crowded trains and buses, as well as stations in the downtown core. The stakeholders who came together to repair and restore Metro need to join us to determine how to sustain the system for years to come. Importantly, we will also need to create a shared view about how Metro will continue to serve the mobility and economic needs of the region. Some questions that will be looked at. Rail lines extending further out into Virginia and Maryland. New track to service 6 Metro rail line to more destinations. An underground walkway connecting Metro Center and Gallery Place. Every train providing 8 cars for riders. Bus only lanes that speed people through beltway traffic. These are just a few ideas that we're going to be asking the public to comment on through a variety of online and in-person feedback opportunities that we will discuss in detail later today, all with an eye toward the board adopting a strategic plan that continues our momentum. Please take note that beginning today, customers can use a convenient new function for the Smart Trip cards called AutoLoad. Similar to EasyPass, customers can go online and set parameters to automatically add value to their accounts on a recurring basis, making travel on Metro even easier, especially for our daily commuters. The new feature begins today, and more information is available on WMATA.com. Tomorrow, I hope you will join us at a landmark event to celebrate the opening of the first new Metro bus facility in a generation. We will cut the ribbon to open Shepherd Parkway tomorrow at 10 a.m. with a speaking program and a tour of the new facility. I hope to see you all there. Looking ahead, I want you to know that inaugural planning is well underway at Metro, and we are working collaboratively with the district and other jurisdictions, the law enforcement community, and many in the region to support the inaugural activities on Martin Luther King weekend in January. It will be important to communicate with the event planners and the riding public well in advance so that we can accommodate extra travelers to this important national celebration. Now, Art Lawson, stand up. Art's retired. He's retiring after more than a decade as WMATA's Government Relations Officer for Washington, D.C., and for 27 years before that, he served in the district government, including acting PDOT director. And over these many years, Art has personally built a web of relationships that seamlessly enabled WMATA and the district to collaborate in many, many projects and to ensure that in serving the region, we have also served the needs of the city and its residents. And I will tell you that as I walk down from here to the Wilson Building, as I get close to that Wilson Building, I never can move very fast if Art is along because we're running into people that all know Art, want to stop and talk with him. And it just shows how well known he is and how well respected he is in the district. He's always cared deeply about the opportunity to serve the public. And I've learned over my career that people who have that passion for public service are rare and valuable. I understand that Art and his wife, Jackie, are looking forward to the birth of their first two grandchildren next year, and we're glad that you will have time with them. Art, you'll be missed, but we wish you and your family good health and much happiness in the years ahead. And that concludes my remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Sarles, and let me join with the board in saying also congratulations and thank you to Art. His face is the familiar face that's there, and we wish you and your family well in your retirement. Mr. Bolger has his hand for recognition.
Who will be, if it's all possible, replace Art? Congratulations. For the District of Columbia.
We will not be able to replace Art, as you noted. However, we will advise you shortly that it.
Thank you. Okay, the next item on our agenda, then we move into report of finance and administration from Mr. Acosta.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Finance and Administration Committee met on September 13th, and we are referring two actions to the board for consideration. First, the staff requested authorization to hold a second public hearing for a new Southern Avenue bus garage, and I'd like to move approval of this item.
Moved and seconded by Mr. Costa and Mr. Dyke. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Mr. Costa.
The second item is that staff sought board approval to increase the budget for the Potomac Yards station project and accordingly increased the FY13 reimbursable projects budget from $56.5 million to $58.1 million. I'd like to move approval of this item.
There, second. Second by Mr. Dyke. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Any other report? Thank you, Mr. Costa. The next item is the Customer Service and Operations Committee. Mr. Downs.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have two recommendations. The first is to authorize public hearings for proposed Metro bus service adjustments for fiscal year 2013. As you know, the staff has a process of looking at independent of the budget process, all of the bus routes within the system to look at changes in demand and utilization, to rebalance the system to meet to better meet the needs of our customers, and to do so in a budget neutral fashion. This process is intended to add trips to reduce overcrowding, add running time to improve on-time performance, add evening and weekday trips, and restructure or eliminate routes or portions of route which duplicate segments. And the attached motion and its route proposed changes are attached, and I would move the approval of the resolution for the setting of public hearings.
Your second? I'll second Ms. Acosta. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed?
The second item is the approval of the public hearing report and public hearing report supplement on the changes to the phase two extension of the Dulles Corridor Metro Rail project, otherwise known as the Silver Line. These changes were part of a set of recommendations that were part of the final engineering on phase one of the line. The hearings process has been completed, and there is an attached resolution for the approval of the phase two supplemental public hearing, staff report, and design requirements for the Dulles Corridor Metro Rail project. I recommend approval of the resolution.
Second by Mr. Dyke. Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Thank you very much. Next is a report from the jurisdictions. Mr. Downs?
I don't believe we have a district report.
Thank you. Mr. Barnes, Maryland?
It's on.
It's on.
That's why I can't turn it on. It's already on. Nothing specific to report. I just wanted to mention for my colleagues on the board who may not have done this. I'm sure some of you have, but this last Saturday, along with my family, including my almost three-year-old grandson, I attended the rodeo that Metro holds each year, where our employees compete. And if you haven't had a chance to go to this, go next year. It's a terrific event. I want to salute everybody that had a hand in organizing it. And the new facility, which many of you will see tomorrow, although I won't be able to be there, I have meetings in Annapolis tomorrow, is very impressive and great addition to the Metro system, and that's where the rodeo was held last Saturday. But if you think driving a bus is an easy thing to do, go and watch these bus operators competing. It's very impressive, and it's a great event. And I encourage those who've never been to go next year and check it out. Bring your family. It's a great event for Metro employees and the families. And I have no report with respect to Maryland issues at this time.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Barnes. Virginia, I don't hear from my Virginia members. I have no report. Thank you very much. And Mr. Downey, Federal Government.
Just a report. We're coming to the end of the fiscal year, and the new fiscal year begins October 1, and federal funds will continue to flow because a continuing resolution was enacted for 6 months, and it includes a very special provision, and we thank Regina Sullivan for her work on this, to assure that the funds for Metro will continue to flow.
Thank you very much. With that, is there any other business to come before? Hearing none, then we are adjourned.